National headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330
FM 106.3.
Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Before we get started, we have a very spectacular guest in studio. We've got the random Christmas trivia cash giveaway questions, and it's been tasked to me to read the one for today. So when you know the answer, visit this station's website or graddickcommunications.com. Click the random Christmas trivia banner and enter your name, email, phone, and your answer. One entry for the correct answers will be picked at random daily, and that contestant wins $100 cash. Like, $100 cash? Nobody told me that. Please enter only once per day. If you enter more than one time per day, there will be consequences. Your entry will be disqualified for that day, and there's civil and criminal penalties. Then on December 14th, between noon and 2 p.m., one of our 12 daily winners, along with the 13th winner selected at random that morning, will have a chance to turn that $100 into $1,000. Yay! At a live remote broadcast at Carrollton on Ice. What in the world? The new covered outdoor ice rink. Located at the Polar Pavilion. What? I thought this was the South. At East Carroll Rec Center. 410 North Lake Drive, Carrollton, Georgia. So here it is. Here's the question from Monday, December 2nd. This is like a give me. This is just, I mean, everybody knows this. What holiday movie sequel includes a cameo by the 45th and the 47th President of the United States? So go to the website. I have the answer right here, but everybody knows that. That's an easy one. What holiday movie sequel includes a cameo by the 45th and 47th President of the United States? Okay, well, today's a very special day because we're going to be talking about the Jay Collins Farewell Tour.
Hey,
it's coming to a city close to you.
Close to you soon.
Go to jaycollinsfarewelltour.com, get your tickets before they...
T-shirts and hats.
Exactly. All right, let's get my volume straight. And, well, welcome, Jay. It's good to have you in.
Always good to be here, Steve.
And this will be the last time I get to interview you as a state rep.
That's right.
You know, I've been doing this a long time. I've interviewed a lot of state reps over the years, and it'd take the whole program to mention all of them. But certainly you spent 8 years as a state rep. And before that, your biggest claim to fame was you were the Villarica's youngest mayor. And you served there for, what, 13 years or so?
I got elected to four-year terms, and I resigned in my fourth term to seek the House.
So you've been in public service for 20 years.
Yeah, over 20 years, yes.
That's a long time, because you're still a young buck, right?
Well, regardless of how I look, I'm only 48, so I've got a lot of gray hair, but I've got a 13-year-old daughter that helped me get some.
Well, tell me, you know, you decided not to run again, so tell us why you decided not to run and give us a little of your reflections upon this is a momentous change in your life.
Well, there were a lot of things. First of all, let me say to the people of House District 71, what an honor it's been to represent my friends and neighbors over in the House. It's been the honor of a lifetime. To do this. And I just felt, you know, things, seasons change in your life. I have a daughter that's 13. Mm-hmm. I have a business that I'm very actively involved in that I built from nothing. I started that business in 2002. I have a grandfather that's 93 that depends on me. You know, there's just a lot of things going on in life. Driving to the state capitol January, February, and March and being away from all of that for a significant amount of time, you know, it takes a toll on you. I have the tremendous amount of respect for people that do this and have done it for decades, especially my friends I've met down in South Georgia that have to completely, you know, walk away from their businesses and their families during the week. I was fortunate enough that I drove back and forth I'd get up
early. And they have to get an apartment or a room or something.
Absolutely. I don't think the average person understands exactly what the sacrifice is that you have to do. And there's not a whole lot of money there. But I just felt like it was a good time to turn the page. We were able to accomplish a lot during the 8 years that I was there. And I say that because we've had, like you said, we've had some representatives out in this area that have laid the foundation for a lot of things that we've been able to do.
I don't think people understand, because I had some experiences with some legislation at the House, and the quality of the state reps we've had in West Georgia, and I came down a little bit from Northwest Georgia. I mean, some of the people, with all due respect, you wonder how in the world did they get elected? And we don't have that in West Georgia.
Yeah, well, with current representative excluded, I would say that we have had some really good people who were very intellectual, who were very good with people, with very good with public policy, that have represented us in the Senate and in the House for decades. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have such a good community.
See if I can throw out some names. You tell me who I'm leaving out. Dusty Hightower.
Oh, great. Great representative.
Jack West.
Absolutely.
Kevin Cook.
Yes.
Jim Bearden. John Simpkins. Tracy Stallings.
Mark Butler. Wayne Garner.
Tom Murphy. Bill Heath was a state rep for a little bit.
And he was a senator.
And then became a senator. I guess in the older days would be Gerald Johnson. I think he was there.
That's correct.
I'm probably leaving out somebody, but it's it's a pretty decent.
We elect people that know how to go over there and get along with folks and get things done, and I think that's vitally important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's stay on that for a minute. You've been on the Regulated Industries Committee, Secretary of Juvenile Justice, Governmental Affairs, Appropriations, and the new chairman. The Public Safety Homeland Security Committee.
That's correct.
So that's pretty significant to be a chair of a committee like that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tim Bearden for a time was chair.
Yes, he was.
So tell us about that. There's so many aspects of that. We could probably spend the whole program on that. But part of that is I believe, school safety, is it not?
We dealt with some school safety issues, yes.
What's your thoughts, and what did you learn about that?
Well, you know, we passed some legislation, I think it was last year before last, requiring that every school in our state have an intruder alert drill, not necessarily a active shooter drill, but just an intruder alert drill. And it seemed like it was a good common sense piece of legislation. We're giving schools money. I think it was around $45,000 a year, schools are receiving for school safety. Every campus in the state is receiving that money. So we thought it would be a good idea to make sure that, you know, schools and educators are training and having drills. Each and every year, you know, you have drills for tornadoes, those kind of things. So we put together some legislation that we felt was very meaningful, that had some substance. Just, hey, go through the steps of this drill. And, you know, unfortunately, it got on the floor of the House, and I think there were 40-some-odd Democrats that voted against it. And the reason behind it varied, but the underlying issue was they were worried how that would affect the mental health of a child to have to go through a drill. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you had that piece of legislation that really we spent a lot of time talking about, but to me it was just a common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you fast forward, and unfortunately you had those circumstances that happened up in Barrow County.
Mm-hmm.
Winder. You know, right in Winder. So, you know, you look at that just requiring a drill so everybody knows what to do, not just the students, but, you know, faculty and staff. And so, you know, that passed and ultimately became law, but that's just one example of some of the ways that not everybody under the Gold Dome is on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that school safety will be one of the issues that's discussed and vetted thoroughly in the House and in the Senate coming up this next legislative session. I'm not envious of those legislators that have to be a part of that conversation. But we have a good community here, and you can look and see what we're doing locally. We didn't wait on the state. Our local first responders, law enforcement, educators, they come together each and every year and do an extensive training of an active shooter. And we've been doing that for decades here. Hats off to our school systems in West Georgia for doing that, especially, you know, Carroll County, Carrollton City Schools. They do a really good job.
I think we did mention David Hulst, and he was served one term so far. So yeah. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with more with a somewhat of a rock star in the J. Collins Farewell Tour.
Has been.
We'll be right back after this.
Consider the Mobius Strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be, too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Welcome back to the Community Voice. We have Jay Collins in studio. He decided not to run again, so we're conducting the farewell tour promotional Community Voice for Jay. 8 years in the State House. It seems like the state reps and the state senators and even congressmen that, I better be careful how I say this, tend to have a really good perspective on life are the ones that don't go beyond the 10-year mark or so. It just seems like it becomes like it's supposed to be, where you take a break from your business or in addition to your business and you serve and then you come back home. It seems to have the best perspective.
Sure. Yeah, well, leaving and then leaving on your terms are not always the same, Steve.
Right.
You know? So I appreciate, thank you, sir. I appreciate the fact that where I am in life, you know, I'm in a good spot. And, you know, it's just time to hand the baton to someone else. And mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough that Judd Howard is going to be that person that takes that baton.
Is there a particular piece of legislation that you sponsor that you're most proud of?
Well, being able to work on a lot of different pieces of legislation. One thing that I found that, especially after I got to be chairman, was helping other people with legislation.
Mm.
That was something that I got a lot of fulfillment out of, is helping other people with their legislation. I co-sponsored some legislation that I was very proud of back in 2020 with my good friend Houston Gaines. He's the vice chairman of the caucus, but we put together a piece of legislation that prohibited local governments in Georgia from defunding the police.
Mm-hmm.
We see what a debacle that was all mm-hmm. across the United States, and we put together that legislation, and I think that we tamped down some of the noise that was coming from some of those local governments that were trying to defund the police, because we understand that you have to have law and order. And I think that false narrative that got out there that demonized the police really hurt law enforcement and public safety, and we took a stand against that, and I'm very proud of that.
Along those same lines, you know, looking back at the presidential race, if you look at the map, basically the blue areas are intense in the large cities.
Sure.
And the rural areas are generally the red areas.
Right.
You know, back in the 90s or whenever Zell Miller was around, we talked a lot about two Georgias.
Right.
And you mentioned South Georgia earlier. How do you see that in terms of Metro Atlanta being, you know, very deep blue, the rest of the state being red, and how do you see that impacting on West Georgia and the rural lifestyle out here?
Well, you know, when I was mayor, I fought against, the planning arm of the Atlanta Regional Commission.
Mm-hmm. And we stayed out of that.
Right, we stayed out of that, and I think that's important to keep on fighting those fights no matter who is in office. But if you look at how that that blue area is continuing to creep out here.
It's getting to where it's more than creeping.
It is. And, you know, I used to laugh and joke and cut up when I was mayor that I wanted to build a wall at Post Road to keep out.
10-foot wall, yeah.
You know, so I think now we have to
Nobody's
focus on,
laughing anymore.
No, and I think now, realistically, you have to look at it as, you know, you need to build a wall about Bay Spring south of Villa Rica because the development that Villa Rica has received and has approved over the last several years, I think that's going to be detrimental to the quality of life.
Well, Villa Rica is unusual to a degree in that, what, half of it's in Douglas and half's in Carroll?
A little less than a half is in Douglas. So,
yeah. So, I mean, that makes it even doubly more like the Achilles heel of...
It does. And regardless, I mean, if you look at the district and you see the northern part of Carroll County along the interstate, I mean, we're 30 miles from the capital city of the eighth most populous state in the nation. You know, the northern part of the county, I think our fate was sealed when Interstate came through.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. It's just kind of creeped out this way, and it's going to continue to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, to me, that's kind of like the number one issue, because if you lose community,
Absolutely.
And I was born and raised in Atlanta, went to college there, so we had a radio station in Gwinnett. Grandmother was in the cab, so I'm a little more vocal about it than probably most, because I know there's no sense of community anymore in Atlanta.
No.
Back in the 60s, and
right.
There was, but it's not there now.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is, and serving in the House, I'll tell you, Steve, you know, across the aisle, a majority of everyone has the same goal in life. Everybody wants to provide for their family a little better.
Living in safety,
you know, be able to afford to take your family on vacation, have a good education for your children. And I think everybody has that goal. I've never met anybody under the gold dome, whether they were a Democrat or Republican, that didn't have that. But the devil's in the details of how you get there. And I think, I've said this before, if, you know, we could cut off five or six people in our party and maybe 10 or 12 in the minority party, you could probably see a lot of things get done.
Yeah. I understand the state has a pretty significant surplus now. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Are we going to get a rebate, if you will, refund for the taxpayer?
Well, you know, I think the next 2 years will be pivotal for our state under the leadership of the governor. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of money sitting there, and there are a lot of things that can be accomplished with that. And I think that there'll be some big things happening in the next couple of years.
So we're going to get a check in the mail, do you think, every taxpayer?
Well, you
possibly.
Know, I would like to see us continue to lower the income tax.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the things as a Republican was very exciting and fulfilling.
And we've been doing that.
Right.
But to really, I think the income tax pays, what, at least half of the state revenue?
That's exactly right. So a lot of people jump up and down and campaign and say, hey, I want to eliminate the income tax. Well, no state in this nation has ever eliminated an income tax. The ones that don't have it never had it to begin with. So the real obstacle for us, yes, and so that was something, you know, people campaign on that, but let's talk about how you're going to backfill the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a conversation to be had, but when you have the kind of reserve that we have, then you can take some of these steps to continue to lower the tax burden.
But don't we need to move a little more aggressively than we are in terms of lowering the income tax to really get a significant reduction?
Well, I think if you keep chipping it away, the Republicans have been successful on the national level with the agenda and the state level by focusing on the long game, not the short game. And I think that's one of the things that I know our governor and I know the Speaker of the House and the Lieutenant Governor are in lockstep with is the long game.
During the presidential election, we heard so much about the deep state, the administrative state, which is an overgrown designation of the executive branch, which takes away power from the legislative branch. But what about the bureaucracy in the state of Georgia and state government? Is it there, do you think? I remember one time Tom Murphy told me that he went across the street to the Department of Education one day and he got upset because everybody was sitting at their desk not doing anything. How much of the state government could be come under that banner of bureaucracy, quote unquote?
Well, I mean, I think every level of government has a tremendous amount of bureaucracy, and I think I think people are beginning to see that more now than ever. I think at any given time, you could probably cut 25% of the bureaucracy out of every level of government. I tried to fight that when I was in the executive office of mayor locally. We were successful on a lot of fronts there. And also, you know, in state government, you know, we're fortunate that we have some really good people who are commissioners of different departments that understand that. I mean, our GDOT commissioner, Russell McMurray, I mean, you look at what the DOT does now compared to what they had 30 years ago. I mean, it is tremendous. But there's always room for improvement. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's important to have business professionals who are signing checks on payday and not necessarily endorsing them, who represent you over in the Gold Dome.
That's an important part, to have business people who have that perspective coming into government.
I say it's important to have people who understand how the milk got in the coconut. I think that's just some walking around common sense. You know, I mean, just because you read a report and it's in black and white doesn't mean it's the gospel. So you know,
always fudge numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
figures don't lie, but liars figure.
Yeah, this is why the Jay Collins Farewell Tour is going to be such a hit. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more after these words.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
I say the best for last. We want to do a shout out to Mr. J. Edwin Busman. You mentioned him earlier, 93-year-old granddad.
Granddad, yes, sir.
Who obviously was a funeral director, and so I imagine in large part an inspiration for you getting.
I never knew him in that role.
Really?
He owned a place, had an ambulance service, and had a small funeral home there in Villa Rica back in the 60s, long before I came along. But he made his living selling floor covering.
He did?
He did.
No kidding. We mentioned Tim Bearden earlier. Now, he's moved up. I don't know if you can call it moving up. That's always been a question about moving. You know, some say moving up. I don't necessarily agree with that, but he's moved from state rep to state senator.
He's in that other chamber across the
hall. Oh, okay. So that's the way we describe it. So
right.
He's in the other chamber. But you're a pretty good supporter of his, I believe.
I love Tim. Tim and I, you know, when Tim first ran for the House 20 years ago, I guess, I was very supportive of him, and he and I talk quite often, and we have a really good friendship.
Now, I think Burt Jones is one of the leading contenders for governor. What's your thoughts on the governor's race coming up?
Could be. You know, we'll see what happens in 2 years. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that'll throw their hat in the ring.
I imagine you'll be supporting Brian Kemp for Senate if he runs for Senate.
I love Brian Kemp. I think he has done a wonderful job as governor. He and his family are just great people, and he's been a fantastic governor.
So what
good for Carroll County. Mm-hmm. Brian Kemp has been good to
everybody
Carroll
around
County.
Here knows him, it
yes,
seems like.
Yes, so. He calls this the center of the universe.
Is that what he calls it, the center of the universe? Well, that's what I call it,
there
too.
So, yeah.
we've got David Hollison now who's online. I've had him in a couple of times. We talked about the rural lifestyle in Georgia, how do you, and particularly what's happened with the hurricane, how is the state legislature appropriately supporting agribusiness and agriculture in Georgia, do you think?
Well, I think as long as we keep on electing folks like David Huddleston, who really understand agriculture. Let me say this. David Huddleston is a great guy. I love David and getting to know him over the last couple of years. You know, he's one of those people that once you get to know him, you want to get to know him more. Being a farmer and small business farmer and his background in agriculture, I think that's vitally important. You know, our state is like I said, the eighth most populous state in the nation, but agriculture is mm-hmm. still the number one industry. Mm-hmm. And so as you move forward as a state, you have to protect that. David has a passion for agriculture and understands that. It's just like we're talking about with Carroll County. I mean, you have the growth in the north part of the county, but we've got to protect agriculture and our local farmers, poultry, you know, and cattle.
Yeah, because all the cattle and the chickens will move to Harrelson and Hurd and Cleburne.
And so David understands that, and we're fortunate to have him represent us in Carroll County.
So what about your future in terms of your holding political office? What's in store?
You know, I hope to be able to watch more Andy Griffith. On my front porch.
Do you have a season you prefer?
You know, I would think the season number 3, 4, you know, anything when the darlings come to town.
But you know how it works in politics. If they come calling for you and they say, we need you to run for office, I mean, you couldn't turn that down, could you?
Well, you know, when Senator Dugan decided he was going to step away, I had some folks in the Senate call and had a lot of people call and ask me if I was going to run for that Senate seat. And, you know, quietly I was talking to my wife, Holly, and I was looking for a way out, you know, and so running for Senate wasn't one of the things that I wanted to do, and I just wanted to serve out my term as representative. I'll never say never, but at this point in my life, I don't see that happening.
But it's possible.
I'll never say never.
Never say never.
I started to go to town and change my mind.
You know, we were at the Chamber Breakfast recently, and Mike was honored, right, as you were,
sure,
for your service. And Mike made some comment. I would have to paraphrase it, but it was something to the effect like, I'm kind of glad all that's over. Are you of the same mindset?
It's bittersweet for me. I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy representing the people and constituent services. I try to help folks. I was on email last night trying to help a constituent with an issue, and that's one of the things I think that we're really fortunate out here is your state representatives, your state senators, locally have had such a good reputation of being able to help people with constituent services and being accessible. That is the number one gripe I have with elected officials, that if you're not accessible, find something else to do.
So it's effectively, state rep is effectively a full-time job.
Oh, absolutely. Being mayor was a full-time job. I mean, people say, oh, it was a part-time job. Well, what part of the time are you not elected? Is it, you know, when you're at the grocery store or when you're at the gas station or at the, you know, the cafe or the barbershop?
Well, congratulations on your service and your tenure there at in the state legislature. We've been honored to interview you every step of the way.
Yeah.
And I remember when you first were elected, and certainly took a couple of months or so. You got your sea legs.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I quoted Murphy earlier, and he said when a Republican would run against him, he always said, boys, y'all don't want to vote for him. It'll take him 2 years to find the bathroom.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, so you got your sea legs early. Of course, when you get my age, finding the bathroom is the first thing you do. But anyway, that's another story. Congratulations.
Thank you, Steve.
We wish you well in all your future endeavors. Well, and thank you for being part of the Community Voice for the last 8 years.
Absolutely. Thank you for what you do with local radio. I mean, just covering the amount of sporting events and just community activities and things that y'all do here is really important to the community.
Well, we'll keep at it. Thank you for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.